You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
And now a very different story that resonates deep in American history, a very different story from South Carolina. Listen carefully to this clip of tape.
This is the South, and racism is fresh and alive.
Racism fresh and alive. That's how the Reverend David Kennedy describes life in South Carolina. Kennedy sees racism on Main Street in his hometown of Lawrence in the form of the Redneck Shop, a store that has been selling Ku Klux Klan and Confederate memorabilia downtown for decades. Last week, after a 15-year battle, Reverend Kennedy made headlines when a judge declared his New Beginnings Baptist Church to be the rightful owner of the controversial shop. The story is pretty rich and complex. It's a tale of a small town drama and how small town forces fight dynamics that have sort of huge implications down through American history. Kim Severson, Atlanta bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, has been covering this story, and she reports now from South Carolina. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
This story really has everything. How did you find it? And just to give us a little bit of the detail and how long this has been going on.
So the Redneck Shop became notorious in the late 90s, and when John Howard, who's a fairly well-known Ku Klux Klan leader, opened it up, for years Reverend Kennedy's been trying to get it shut down. People have protested. Someone once drove a car through the plate glass window to try to stop the shop. Earlier in December, this judge finally decided that Reverend Kennedy is the rightful owner, but how he got to get a hold of that title is really quite the tale.
And how did he do it? I mean, Reverend Kennedy made a decision that I'm not going to fight this in the courts in the traditional way. I'm going to fight it sort of in the back rooms of City Hall and then take it to court and win, right?
Well, it's really a story of a small town and of relationships more than a court battle or some sort of larger stand in many ways. Michael Burden was a young 15-year-old who fell in with John Howard and took on the white supremacist doctrine readily. The two became close. Mr. Burden eventually met his wife in the church, and they both started to question Mr. Howard. At that time, Mr. Howard apparently, and we don't know if it was a gesture of goodwill or an effort to keep him in the flock, he signed the deed of the building over to Mr. Burden. Mr. Burden and his wife had a falling out with Mr. Howard. He threw them out into the streets, and here's where Reverend Kennedy walks into our story.
And how does Kennedy get connected with Burden?
Well, Reverend Kennedy had long watched his shop. The FBI and other law enforcement officials have, too. So when this scene happened and he was thrown out of the shop and his wife was thrown out of the shop, Reverend Kennedy and some of his church members took in the family. They had two young children. They gave them water. They put them in a hotel room. And Mrs. Burden had a religious conversion and came to see and regret her actions with the Klan. So the Reverend took them in. Michael Burden joined the church, but the two were very poor. So at some point they needed some money to pay the rent and help feed their children. So they signed the deed over to Reverend Kennedy for $1,000.
Well, we talked to Reverend Kennedy, and for someone who purports to understand or at least preach about the workings of the Lord, he even thought it was strange that Michael Burden and his family would be kicked out of that shop and come to him. Listen.
I thought it was strange for him to ask because of the arrogance and the pride in the Klan. But when you hit rock bottom, things started happening.
And among the things that started happening is that the process for turning that title deed, as you say, because they needed money, over to Kennedy took place. Here is Reverend Kennedy talking about the details that eventually resulted in the deed coming into his hands.
The guy who sold it to me had given our police a statement that he had planned to assassinate me and told me where I was on two occasions, when he was about to pull the trigger. It's deeper than meet the eye.
We're talking with Kim Severson, Atlanta bureau chief. Our partner, the New York Times, has been covering this story. So an assassin becomes a benefactor in a sense.
Yeah, it's one of those tales that's really about family and relationships and small town life. Mr. Burden has a court documented history of substance abuse. He was, I could say, a young man when he got pulled into Mr. Howard's world. And at some point, he clearly wanted to try to get away, and we don't know whether it was out of anger or revenge or sheer desperation that he signed the title over to the Reverend. Things went along like that for a little while. Of course, you know, these tales don't have happy endings. Mr. Burden eventually fell back in with Mr. Howard. He did a short prison stint. The two got divorced. And then Mr. Howard decided he would try to sell the deed again to somebody else to make some money. And this is the point at which Reverend Kennedy said, wait a minute, I'm the legal deed holder. And he went to court a few years ago, and the court just in December ruled that movie theater, the lobby in the movie theater where the Redneck Shop is, and all of the Confederate and Klan memorabilia will eventually belong to the church. The one catch is Mr. Howard has a lifetime deed on it, so he's allowed to stay and operate the shop. And when he dies, then the church will get the shop. But there's, we hope, a little bit of a silver lining if Mr. Howard does not appeal the ruling or pay the court costs that he owes the church, then the shop could go into a foreclosure auction and the church could get it sooner rather than later.
So the name the Redneck Shop might not change, but at the very least there's going to be an under new management sign there in that theater, in a sense.
And you know where to go if you need your Confederate bikinis or a Klan robe.
What a great and amazing postscript. Only in America, I guess, right, Kim?
It is certainly a tale, I'll tell you that.
Kim Severson, Atlanta bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. Have a great Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, Kim.
Thank you, John.
She joined us on this Friday the 13th from Gaffney, South Carolina.